We also heard the Ames Choral Society perform Summer 11, YMCA, Waterloo.
Hello, and welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. My name is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm one of your hosts for today, and I'm here together with my co-host, KHOI producer Ron Latson. Hi, Ron.
Hi, it's good to be here, and hello to you, the listeners.
Ron, you're actually on the air on KHOI at another time of the day, isn't that right?
Yes, I am. I do a DJ show on Wednesday nights from 10 to midnight called Soulful Express.
It's good to have you co-hosting with us today on the show. And you've actually been one of the first people who helped get Local Talk on the air back in the day. So it's good to have you back,
Ron. It's good to be back.
You may be aware that we usually start our Local Talk with a look at the phenology calendar, which marks the progression of natural events in the animal and plant world. According to the phenology calendar, the barred and screech owls are supposed to begin nesting and laying eggs today. I can attest to the accuracy of that, because it's true. For the past few nights, after a long and silent winter, I really have been hearing the barred owl hooting every night, carrying on in the woods outside my bedroom window. They must live in a tree nearby. So let's start the show. Here's a recording from the Cornell University's Lab of Ornithology, narrated by Laura Erickson.
I get a lot of phone calls and emails and letters from people who woke up in the middle of the night thinking something terrible was invading their campground when they suddenly were hearing barred owls. They're often doing that because they're hearing another pair or individual barred owl on an established territory, and that's when the pair starts really revving up and making those territorial calls. One night, I was being totally quiet, just walking along this road, and in flew two barred owls. There was a full moon behind them, and you could actually see their eyes as they were calling, and it was just magical.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. My name is Ron Latson, and I am one of your hosts for today. With Ursula Rudenberg, you just heard from the barred owls, who are scheduled to begin nesting and laying their eggs today.
Let's hope the cold weather isn't discouraging them.
Moving on, KHOI reporter Paul Hertz has filed a report on the Ames Choral Society, who will be performing tonight and Sunday at the Octagon Arts Center.
Summer loving had me at last.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away
to walk. Oh, the summer nights.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, uh-huh.
Tell me more, did you get very far?
I'm speaking with Steve Hoyfeld, director of the Ames Choral Society. Steve, the Choral Society has been doing its annual cabaret show for quite a few years.
Yep, we've been doing it for over 20 years now. And It started out as a fundraising concert for something that never happened, but it gave people a chance to do some solos. And in the early days, we did just sort of a variety show. The Choral Society sang at the beginning of the first act, and then we broke up the individual items by having a little narration. And then we had the chorus end the first part of the show, and then they started the second part of the show, had another group of solos and duets and small groups, and then they closed the show. And we've actually been using the song Cabaret as our final number for the whole time we've been doing this.
These days, each cabaret show has a plot.
That's right. Yep. The first one that we did was a fairy tale story. So it was called Once Upon a Time. We've done one that was set in the West, How the West Was Sung. We did 2008, A Space Oddity, which was a science fiction show. We've done another fairy tale show and a parody of The Wizard of Oz and Sound of Music. And this year's is a parody of the Mamma Mia and Grease plots. So kind of a mixed bag. And a lot of this is basically our pops concert. So we use a lot of popular songs or musical theater pieces.
The title of this, Greased Lightning, certainly comes from both Mamma Mia and Grease.
That's right.
This plot is set in some Grecian island somewhere.
That's right, that's right. And we have a wedding at the end. Oh, I should maybe have said that, but
rest assured, it will be a fat Greek wedding.
That's right. Yep, and as usual, we have members of the Choral Society doing solos and duets, and the chorus actually has pieces from Grease and Mamma Mia, as well as singing YMCA and Greased Lightning from the guys, the song Mamma Mia by the women. So quite a range of things.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for young men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. You can get yourself clean, you can have a good meal, you can do whatever you feel. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything for young men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
So, as a might say a traditional choral director, mm-hmm. How does it feel to do a production like this?
Well, I mostly just do the arm waving, and I let whoever's in charge of the cabaret show set the stage, and they come up with a script, and we decide what songs are going to be a part of it. Often the members have selected their own pieces, and we've worked them into the show, and it's kind of fun to be surprised by the pieces that are sung and to wonder how all this is going to fit together. So in the last couple of years when we've had a program, we have not put the songs in the order of the show so that people do still have an element of surprise.
Where can people find out more about Greased Lightning, and when is it happening?
It's happening Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Octagon, and on Sunday afternoon, March 2nd, also at the Octagon at 3 p.m. They can go to our Facebook page or to our webpage, and if they need tickets, they can contact my phone number, 232-5545. People who would like to come can buy their tickets at the door today, and they should be able to buy tickets at the door on Sunday as well.
I'm speaking to Kevin Langle, a member of the Ames Choral Society. about the Choral Society's upcoming cabaret show called Greased Lightning. Kevin, how did you get involved with the Choral Society?
I have been involved for 5 years. Steve was my choir director at DMAC, and I've been hooked ever since. I've been a member since the summer of 2010.
And I understand that though this is the Ames Choral Society, many of the members, such as yourself, aren't actually from Ames.
Yep. I live in Ogden, so I commute about 20 miles to get here, so it's worth the drive.
What part do you play in the cabaret show?
I play the part of Seymour. He's one of the more of the lead roles in the show. He's just getting married to Sophie, so I sing two duets. I am singing Suddenly Seymour from Little Shop of Horror, and I am singing You're the One That I Want from Grease.
What are some of your favorite songs in this cabaret show, and what musicals are they from?
I would say a couple of my favorites are Waterloo from Mamma Mia, and Tradition from Fiddle on the Roof, and also Comedy Tonight from A Funny Thing Happened to the Way on the Forum. Another one of my favorite pieces would be our very closing piece, Cabaret. It's just a fun, upbeat song that is just a great time. We have a great time singing it.
Come taste the wine. Come in and come blow your horn. Start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. What good's the meeting? Some profit of two. To wipe every smile away. Like this a cabaret, old chum. Come to the
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We just were listening to a report from Paul Hertz about upcoming performances by the Ames Choral Society, Greased Lightning, which will be held at the Octagon Arts Center on Friday, February 28th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 2nd at 3 p.m. The Octagon is located at 427 Douglas in Ames. In fact, we're looking at it right now.
Yes, we are. We have Nitin Gadia is here with us today in the studio. Welcome, Nitin.
Hello.
Nitin, would you introduce yourself?
My name's Nitin. I grew up in Ames here. I'm 29. I'm here to talk about a space that we're thinking of opening and want some people to be involved.
What is the space?
We're looking to open the space. It's in downtown. It's a little north of Main Street. I can't say the exact location because it's all in negotiation, but we're looking for people who would want to be involved. Where basically it's pretty massive. It's like a few thousand square feet. It would be used for anything like a music venue, art space. It's just kind of like open for anybody to use. And I really feel like the community needs something like this. There's really not anything like this that exists.
So when you say we, who's we?
Well, right now we actually do have a space. It's below downtown Delhi on Main Street. It's not really ideal for us. We've always kind of wanted to move. It's called Ames Makerspace. It's a space where it's a community workshop. We kind of hang out just once or twice a week.
Who's we? Who hangs out?
Yeah, sure. It's a community workshop where we just kind of hang out and make things.
So yeah. You're people who like to make things?
Yeah, like it's a part of the maker movement.
Describe the maker movement.
It's like I can't really describe, you know, that's the broadest explanation of it. Anybody who wants to make, you know, tinker with things, kind of create any kind of a project. Like, for example, I'm building a laser harp. It's like harp made out of lasers that you touch the lasers and they make tones like a harp. It's just ridiculous kind of projects like that.
Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I mean,
well, we'll have to have you play it on KHOI sometime.
Yeah. Maybe after I build it and I'm also good at playing it. I don't play a musical instrument, let alone one that I've built myself. So, yeah.
So if you are able to get the space, mm-hmm. What would they encounter?
It would be an environment where basically it's something that anybody that enters can kind of feel like they have a sense of ownership in, you know, like anybody that comes can kind of do whatever they want in the space, within reason, of course, but it's something that somebody could come and teach a class in, or they could just hang out in if they wanted to, and they could do their work, bring in a project to work on. It's a really big space that people could use for anything, really. So
you said earlier that you feel this is something the community needs.
Yeah.
Explain that.
You know, there is really no space, I feel, that people really have a sense of ownership in. Like, people really feel like it's their space. Of course, there are local clubs and things like that, but something that is just for the Ames community at large, you know, that people can go. You know, there are libraries, there are coffee shops, there are places to hang out like that, but there's nothing that you can go to and really feel like, you know, it's a community space.
Like a town square almost.
Yeah, like a town square, but, you know, indoors.
So, Nitin, mm-hmm. you're from the area. You grew up here, or you've lived here a long time, right?
Yeah, I grew up here. I mean, since I was 2 years old, I was born in Texas, but yeah.
So when you talk about community, what is your vision for community? What does that mean to you?
Well, we need to feel a sense of ownership in our community. We just don't, you know, if we just basically live in go and rent a place or live in a place and we're not really, we only feel like the only space that we have a sense of ownership in is, you know, the room that we live in, then that's really dejecting. You know, we really, everybody needs community. It's as old as time. And I just really feel like that's hard to find, especially in the modern world and in America, especially, you know, it's so transient.
So in a way, you're saying that community is a physical place for people to meet each other?
Yeah. I mean, there's many kinds of communities, obviously, but we really need a common place and a common sense of pride and place, really. I think lacking to a great degree.
So that's why you're renting this large areas where that can occur?
Yeah. And we're looking for people, above all, who would, you know, if you want to know more about the space, you can go to amesmakerspace.org.
Repeat that.
amesmakerspace.org. That's Ames, A-M-E-S, makerspace, M-A-K-E-R, space.org, all one word. You can click on About, and there's my contact information there. So if you want to know about it, contact me if you're interested in a space where you can use it for anything you want to use it for, whether it's music or, you know, an art project or a gathering, meeting space, anything like that. And above all, right now, we are looking for people who are willing to contribute, like not necessarily do any work, but contribute a certain amount monthly, or just for opening the space, but also people who are willing to be involved in any way.
So how long have you been working on this?
We have gone by that space many times, and it's been for rent, and we were just like, you know, and a lot of people I've talked to have thought the same way, like that would be a great community space. And we've been around for 2 or 3 years, you know, we're not very well advertised. It's just a kind of a group of people, like a club that meets. It's open to anyone, but the space has never been ideal, and we've always thought, you know, it'd be good to move into that space. And I guess we just decided to finally move forward on it. So,
okay, well, yeah. Good luck, and give out your website once again. And you are looking for people to get involved, right?
Yeah. It's amesmakerspace.org, A-M-E-S, maker, M-A-K-E-R. Space, S-P-A-C-E, amesmakerspace.org, and just click on the About page and you'll find our contact information.
Okay, well, yeah. Come back and keep us updated.
Thanks
on
a lot.
What happens. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The next time we see each other, maybe years and years from now. Family reunion, got to have a family reunion. Family reunion, it's so nice to come together and we'll get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. And a warm and tender embrace. And if Grandpa was here, I know he'd be smiling from ear to ear to see what he has done.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Have you ever walked or met some people in Ames, black residents, and wondered what brought them to the Ames community and what's life like for them here? On the last day of Black History Month, we would like to spotlight some of the stories of black residents who currently live in Ames. Myself, I'm an 11-year resident of Story County, where I lived in Ames and now I currently live in Cambridge.
Ron, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the south side of Chicago.
And when did you come to Central Iowa?
I arrived in Ames in January of 2003.
So did you come to Ames because of the Section 8 housing low-income project arranged by the city of Ames in Chicago?
No, it's a funny story of how I came here. My daughter's mother had a sister who was going to Iowa State. And I went on the internet and found out she had family here. So her and my first daughter, Kaylee, came here to visit, and we liked the community so much that we decided to move here.
And then eventually your wife returned to Chicago, right?
No, we stayed here. We've been here ever since.
Okay. And you live in, how long did you live in Ames?
I've lived in Ames until about 2011, and then we moved out to Cambridge.
Why did you move to Cambridge?
Cambridge is a nice community. Well, I had friends that lived there, and, you know, we liked it. And it's a great community to where everybody knows everybody. It's a close-knit community, and basically for my daughters who really love the school system, and they have tons and tons of friends out in Cambridge.
So you like Cambridge?
Oh, I love Cambridge. Cambridge is one of the best communities that I've lived in. It's small, but it's a nice place to live, though.
So now, is it right you're living in the renovated old schoolhouse in Cambridge?
Yes. It's the only big red building in Cambridge. I mean, it's a really great place to live, though. I mean, it's a three-bedroom apartment, and we really enjoy living there.
And you work in Ames, right?
Yes. I currently work at Okoboji Grill right now.
Okay, so you, in a way, are an interesting person to be hosting this show today.
Yes, I am, because like I say, I've done a lot around KHOI. But you know what, Ursula, in preparation for this show, I did an interview with my cousin Sonia McHaren, who is a current resident of Eastwood Housing Community in Ames. She's been living here for the past 10 years, and I wanted to know her personal experience about living in Ames.
Ron, what and where is the Eastwood Housing Community?
Eastwood is a community that's located on 7th Avenue, 7th Street in Ames. It's close to Banshill Park. And Eastwood is one of the many communities in Ames where there's a lot of black people that live there.
But they're not all in one area in Ames or in one particular housing project?
There are a lot of residents in West Ames, too, but they're all not in one area in any particular housing development. You would think that there are a lot of black communities in Ames, but actually there are a lot of people living in the east part of town don't really have any relationship with the blacks in West Ames. So there really are at least two communities of black people and no strong community identity. I asked Sonia about some of these, and this is what she had to say.
Hi, my name is Sonia McCarron. I live in Ames, Iowa, in Eastwood Apartments. I've been here in Eastwood for about 4 years now, in Ames, period, about 10 years.
So, Sonia, you say you live in Eastwood. Would you describe Eastwood to the people that don't really know about Eastwood?
A quiet community. It's not as bad as people say, think it is, or that they you know, separate Eastwood from the rest of Ames because they think it's drugs and all type of stuff over here, but it's not like that. It's actually quiet over here. And it's a good place for your kids.
What's your impression of the Ames community as far as what's going on around here? What's there to do here?
There's actually nothing to do here.
What do you mean by nothing?
They don't have any activities for the teenagers. They have nowhere to go, nothing to do. That's why most of them are in trouble all the time, because it's nothing for them. They have to go to different cities to, like, for skating, anything like that. It's not nothing in Ames like that.
So, saying that there's nothing in Ames, what do you think that the community needs to do to make that situation a lot better?
They need to come together, first of all, and not separate one end of the city from the other end.
And what do you mean by separate?
Well, you know, it's west side and then it's east side.
So in separating, are you saying that there are two separate black communities in Ames?
Yeah.
And as far as these black communities, I mean, what's the difference between the black communities you see in Ames?
I'm over here. I don't go over there. Really nothing over there either. So it's nothing like we can go visit and we can see, you know, how the place, you know, how they are over there, because there's something over there to do.
You mean on the west side of Ames?
So if it was like a library over there, you go to a library and you say, oh, well, it's quiet over here and they do this and that over here. But you can't do that because there's nothing over there. Like, there's nothing over here.
So you mean there's basically nothing in Ames for blacks to do here, or no get-togethers, no cultural events, no nothing?
No nothing.
So what do you think that the city needs to do to change that situation?
They need to develop different types of programs, not for just the blacks, but for all the teenagers, so they can be together and know that we basically all the same, just different colors.
And do you find that to be a real big problem here in Ames?
Yeah, because I have ran into a lot of prejudice.
And in what way?
Even as far as me walking on the same side of the street as some of the white people, they will cross over.
I know it's offensive, but could it be changed?
It could be changed if they just got to know who the black, what you know, black people are. All black people are not bad people. That's what they have to understand.
Okay.
Just because this person from Chicago is this way don't mean everybody's like that.
So in other words, you're saying that they should get to know the blacks that are here now.
Yeah.
What's your impression of when they say that they see that a lot of blacks here are just walking the streets?
Yeah, because they can't find jobs. The white people get the jobs.
So, I mean, as far as like the major stores or Walmart or downtown area?
Yeah, they won't hire the black kids before they hire the white ones.
And do you have like a feeling about why that is?
Well, like I said, we have some bad seeds, and they have made it bad for the rest of them. But they shouldn't go by that, because not everybody is bad. That's just like us looking at them and say, oh, well, he did that, so all white people are bad. But that's not how it's supposed to be.
So, in other words, what do you think would make Ames a better community for not just the blacks here in Ames, but whites and everybody here?
For them to have just make different programs where everybody can be involved, not just one race, or not make it about how much money you have, or, you know, what side of Ames you come from or who your parents are. Just, you know, have programs for the kids and older ones to, you know, get to know each other. And it'll be a much better place.
So right now, there are no programs in Ames to help the kids? Is it just the kids or is it everybody?
None for me either, actually. It's really nothing for the older black people to do either. You know, they have their little different things at the city hall. They love dancing, but it's not our type of dance.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's, you know.
So you're saying that Ames needs to be more cultural diverse in what they offer, in the programs that they offer here. Okay. I know you know a lot about the system in Ames, about getting help and people that, you know, come here from different places. How has that been influential in your life and dealing with Ames as far as the programs that are provided here for people?
Yeah, the programs are very good, and they will help you. They help you more than I've seen any other place.
What are some of the places
like
that people can go to?
Service, the ERP, MICA, But there's quite a few places.
So in other words, the community just needs to change some of the cultural things. But as far as helping people, they're very good about that.
Yeah.
About giving people assistance.
Yeah, and the schools are good, too. They do a lot for the kids. They teach the kids a lot.
So do you have any kids here in Ames?
Yes.
And does he go to school here?
Meeker.
So what's your impression of Meeker?
Now, he's learned a lot there. More than I think he would have learned if we were still in Chicago.
What are some of your final thoughts about Ames, and where would you like to see Ames go?
I would like to see them do more for the teenager going into their adulthood, more positive things for them so that they won't see all the young black people walking around with nothing to do. Make jobs available for them. Resume, how to go for job interviews, how to do this and that. You know, offer that service. Have different programs for them instead of talking about them.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Radio, and today, this last day of Black History Month, we are looking at the lives and stories of some of our own Story County black residents, and a look at the community from a point of view of less commonly discussed. We have heard from my cousin, Sonya McHaren, and we have some guests here in the studio who would also like to share their stories. Welcome, Merle, and we also have Alan Stewart.
How you doing?
Hey.
Alan, Sonya talked about the teen perspective in Ames. Could you give us your point of view on that?
Growing up in a college town, like, there's good and there's bad, but for me personally, like, I've experienced, like, good things here, so I don't really surround myself with, like, negative people to, like, do negative things, so it's been great.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
And did you grow up here in Ames?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I was born in Chicago. Like, when people ask me, hey, where are you from? I say I'm from Ames because this is where I, like, pretty much grew up at.
You graduated from Ames High School?
Yes.
When did you graduate?
Just last year.
What are you doing now after graduation?
Going to DMAC right now and hopefully get a degree in coaching.
You were an athlete in high school, is that correct?
Yeah.
A football player?
Yep.
What are you planning to do with the degree?
After 2 years at DMAC, hopefully to transfer to ISU.
And you know what you want to study at Iowa State?
Journalism.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, stick around here. No,
we got another on-air personality.
Did you experience feeling bored in Ames?
Not really, because, like I said before, it's a college town, and there's, like, around football season, basketball season, there's a lot to do. Ames has expanded since I've been here. Like, a lot of stores have been open. Yeah.
So what do you do for fun?
Work out, hang out with my friends, and go to ISU football games and stuff.
When you think of your family and your home, you think of Ames. This is really what you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And your relatives are still in Chicago?
Yeah, I visit there from time to time.
You say it's a great community. What do you think that can make it a little bit better?
Well, for me, growing up, to stay out of trouble, I actually went to the Boys and Girls Club, and that's always been good. Like, a lot of kids used to go there all the time. Just being active in sports always helps.
Okay, yeah, that's a good thing, you know, to know that there are places for the youth in Ames, black youth in Ames, to go to and then, you know, and have a good time in Ames and really become part of the community.
Right. Where do you go for entertainment?
I usually go to the movies or ISU football games and basketball games.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up in Ames, would you say that were there a group of young black kids that stuck together, or was it really not something that played a role in your high school experience?
For me growing up, going to the Boys and Girls Club, it was very diverse, so it was easy to make friends. Like, white and black. Me, I'm good at making friends or whatever.
So for you, there really was no disconnect between the two. It was all mixed together.
Some of my closest friends are black, but next to them, like, some of my other close friends are white.
You're a product of Ames.
Yeah.
So you plan on staying here for a while? Since you grew up here?
Yeah, pretty much. To go to school and stuff, so yeah.
Any observations you have about what it's been like growing up here?
Well, if you go to a school like Ames High, like, where the teachers are more than just teachers, like, they get to know you and stuff, and Ames High have a high graduation rate, is because, like, everything is active, like, in a school, and they reach out and help the kids and stuff. I loved high school, but my teachers, like, reached out to help me, like, whenever I was struggling or whatever, but it's just a great community. for me as a kid growing up here and getting to know like some of my friends' parents, and the word goes around about me like being a good kid, and that's, I never really had like any prejudice towards me.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, that's really great.
So Merle, you're with us too here. Hi, yeah. Merle.
How you doing?
Merle, you actually have a show on KHOI.
Yes, it's called Merle on the Move every Saturday night, 9 to 11. Check it out.
Tell us a little bit about the show.
It's sports, hip-hop, and social and political show. I do talk and sports.
So you're from St. Louis, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Different part of the...
From the Lou. Find me in St. Louis.
So we've heard everybody else's story. Why don't you tell us about yours?
My transition here to Ames, I've moved here in 2009. Never heard of Ames, Iowa. I heard of Iowa State. Me and my wife wanted to move up, to leave St. Louis area to Iowa. I used to drive over the road, drive trucks. I teach truck driving now.
Why did you pick Iowa?
I lived in Cedar Rapids back in 97 because I worked for a company there and I liked it. It was kind of wholesome, you know, different to where I'm from. And we kind of wanted to move to a more of a bigger area, Des Moines area, but I didn't want to live in Des Moines. So we picked Ames.
And mentioning that, just let everybody know, me and Merle used to be neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, we're next door neighbors.
Right next door, right across on Carroll Street, right across from Banjo.
I've been in the same house since I moved here.
What street was this on?
On Carroll, right on the east side.
Okay.
East side of Ames.
Right by housing development we're staying. I live on Carroll, though, right by the park.
So, Merle, what are some of your impressions of Ames as far as being a black resident in Ames? Like, what would you say?
I think it's like Disney World. I think I've said that several times.
I
love it. What I mean by that is where I'm from, one of the first things I noticed when I moved here was it was a shooting on the news that happened in Des Moines, and it happened like 6 months ago. And they were talking about it like it just happened last night.
Wow.
And back home where I'm from, it's a murder in the morning, and the evening news is a murder. You know what I mean? So it's one of the first things I noticed. You know, and that was in Des Moines, and we live in Ames, so
yeah. So it made me feel even better.
You know what I mean? I love the community here. It's a lot of opportunity here. As far as racism, it's racism everywhere. I haven't experienced it on the level that I have in other places. I've noticed that I was told this when I first moved here, that if you have ambition and you want to do something, it's people here that will help you do it. And I'm a testament of that because I'm sitting here right now because I met some people at Banshell Park back in 2011 that had an idea for a radio station.
And here we are right now. Was born.
So there you go. You mean, say, as far as the community here, you know, look what we're doing right now.
And you have children here, too, right?
Yes, I have two daughters and a son. Both my daughters went to Aim High also. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter, she'll graduate this year. And my oldest daughter, she graduated 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So Sonia was saying that she didn't feel that there was enough for teenagers to do. What do you think she was referring to?
I agree, unless it is sports. This is a sports town because of the university here. So I'm hoping my son catches fire on the sports and keep him out of some trouble also, like this young man next to me. And the great testimony that he gave on the air today, I'm glad to see that it is some young African-American men that's doing some things. So congratulations on graduating and going to college, my man. But, yeah, it's besides the water park that they have here in town in the summertime, it's not much for them to do unless you're into sports. They got the Dollar Theater in the mall, which is good. But they don't really have a place for kids just to, like, they got the Boys and Girls Club, but it's a certain age limit over there. But it's the tweeners. It's the guys, it's the kids that's like in between 16 and 20. You know what I mean? They're too young to do the adult things, but too old to do the kiddie things. Those, I think they need to cater to those kids a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say that, as an older adult in Ames, like, what's your perspective of Ames? Like, what is there to do here for older adults in Ames?
Main Street, I guess. I don't know. It's not, like I said, sports. Like my man said here, Alan said, it's if you're not into sports or if you're not a fan, I mean, you got a lot of adults that are fan of sports here, of the college thing here. So, besides that, it's not a lot to do here, you know. And I believe it's a lot of the money in this town that could create more avenues besides bars. I think we got enough bars. I think it's a bar opening up here. On, it used to be the little video store next to Burger King.
Yeah, I saw that the other
It turned
day.
Into another yeah. bar. I don't think we need another bar.
What you do know? We need?
I think a community center would be better. You know what I mean? Something that you can have more involvement in. Like, everybody's anticipating the library to open back up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that library was a great place that everybody would come and connect. Mm-hmm. You know, young and old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about that.
It's interesting when Ron asked Sonia what would help the east part of town connect with the west part of town. She said that if there was another library on the west side of Ames, then people would have some place to go over there. So in a way, she was saying the same thing. She was looking for a
connection,
a community space where people could be.
I totally agree. Anytime you think of the west side of town, you think of the college. Mm-hmm. To me, when I go to the west side of town, it's like going to another town. You know, it's still Ames, but it's like going to another side of town. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you noticed, a lot of restaurants have been closing around here. You know, you got the Wendy's over there to close. You got Long John Silver's down here just closed. I don't know if it's the development that's coming in, but I think something's a brewing.
So you think, okay.
Go ahead.
So what, I mean, you said that there are like two diverse black communities in Ames. Could you kind of expand on that and let us know, you know, what do you mean by it?
I don't know if it's too diverse. I don't know if I agree with the too diverse, but I think it's two different types.
Okay.
Okay. You do get the stereotype for Chicago. They always, a lot of people assume that
the
you see a black person.
No, not
that. Just if you, they assume if you're black, you're from Chicago.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you're here in Ames area, that you're either a student or you're from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Me and my family got accused of that a lot. I like Chicago. I have a problem with Chicago, but I'm not from Chicago. So it's two different sets of people. And because of that, it's a difference. You know what I mean? If you're over in Europe and you meet somebody that's American, you're going to have a connection with that person because you're an American. So if you have people that's from Chicago, they kind of connect with people from Chicago.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you have the African community here, you know, also, and they connect with each other. So it's definitely two different groups of people.
Alan, your family is from Chicago originally.
Right.
Do they, when you're with your family, do they can associate with other families that came from Chicago?
Yes, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you live in Eastwood?
Yeah, I live a lot.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people living in Eastwood that are from Chicago. Who is that correct?
Well, I don't really like know the people around the area. Only my aunt does. So I really don't know.
You don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a handful. My son rides the bus with some of the kids from over there. He goes to Meeker also, and it's a handful of families from Chicago. But I'm sure it's a lot of them that spread out here in the city, West Side too, the trailer parks, some in the high rises. You know, it's some families from Chicago that's professors at the college. You know what I mean? And their families move up and take jobs in other places. Like my wife, she works at 3M. So, you know, it's a good place to start. But it is two different kinds of people here.
And you also, Ron, are involved with another kind of cultural community.
Yeah, I'm involved with the hip-hop community.
Yeah, so talk about that. Where does that fit into this?
That's one of the things that is bringing that age group together, that I'm saying, that in-between age, the 16 between 20 age group. And music is a bridge for everything. And that's something that's lacking here, is the communication between the age groups. And music is a way to do that. So I have a management company that I work with, and I bring hip-hop artists from around the Midwest. And that's what we're trying to sponsor, the Midwest, Omaha, Indiana, St. Louis, Chicago, and here.
Also. Are there rural hip-hop artists?
Yes. It's a guy here from Webster City, Lil New Money. He's from Webster City. To me, that's rural. You know, so. But hip-hop, it bridges a lot of things.
And it also bridges races, right?
It does.
Not necessarily black hip-hop artists.
Definitely. And that's why we're here in Iowa. When I did the Bow Wow show on Valentine's Day, one of the rappers was, his name was Chino. Matter of fact, I did an interview with him on the radio last week. And he's a Mexican-American. And he's good. You know, he's got the 515 tattooed on the back of his head.
Yeah.
And he's raised in Des Moines. Uh-huh. And he's a big hip-hop artist.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the impressions of, like you said, you have a lot of blacks that come here from other areas that you know. What's their impression of when they come to Ames? Like, what are people thinking?
Wow. Really?
Explain.
It's like Disney World, man. It's like, it's unbelievable that it's the people, the town. It's slower now. That's one of the things people notice. It's very slow here. You know, we're kind of behind the other areas. You know what I mean? Par's catching up on some things.
Okay, but, wait a minute. Slow down here. First of all, what do you mean by behind?
Far as being up on what's current. Mm-hmm. You know, the current themes and fashions and music, especially musically. Man, musically, this whole area, not just here at Des Moines, musically is probably behind 2 years. You know what I mean? I mean, it's stuff that's current, that's really popping, and people are like, who was that? I've never heard of it. If it ain't Beyonce or Jay-Z, I ain't never heard of it, you know? So we're kind of behind here. But the overall take that all of my relatives that come up here, they'd be like, wow, this is a really nice area. It's cleaned. Even Des Moines, you know, this whole area is really clean. It's a lot of jobs here. Job opportunities
that's the biggest thing that I found, that there are jobs here.
Yeah, Story County was like 3% unemployment, you know. So it's opportunity here. You know, back home where I'm from, if you don't know anybody, you can't get the job. Here, you can go in, you got the skills, you can get the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Ursula.
No, go ahead.
I just feel that, like I say, as a community, Ames is not just a black community or white community. It's really a community of people. I mean, and you see that. But the thing that got me is when I came here was, like, you talk about Disney World, Disneyland. It's the quiet. Like, this was the quietest place I had ever been to. When I first got here, walking down the street to go to Hy-Vee at 3 in the morning really, really was an eye-opening experience. So walking down the street and you're like...
Not a soul on the street.
Not a soul on the street. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like lights are going off. You're like, wait a minute. I'm actually walking down the street at 3 in the morning and nobody's coming up to me harassing me or, you know, asking me for this, for that. And it's like, man... This is really a great place to live.
You could roll a bowling ball down the ground grand and wouldn't hit a car.
Exactly, yeah. But I can say, you know, you mentioned that. But the thing about for me was how quiet it was. And that was like really, really a calming effect. That made me want to stay here. It's like, man, I could go to Hy-Vee or anywhere, Walmart at 3 in the morning and not have to deal with anybody. You know, not have to deal with the drama and things like that. So. Yeah. That's one of another reasons why I've been here for so long, because it's a great place. It's a great community to live, and it's family-oriented. I agree. This is a family-oriented town.
I agree totally.
So, Alan, when you go to Chicago, do you have the opposite experience?
Yeah.
I do, too, bro. Yeah. When I go to Chicago, I get the same feeling.
I'm just not used to, like, being there, like, all the time. So, pretty much just like stay in the house, like just be with my family. Uh-huh. That's like literally family time to me.
Uh-huh.
So,
and yeah. Chicago seems loud to you compared to
I'm not used to the big city anymore, so
mm-hmm.
It's like it always you know, weighs on me.
Mm-hmm.
The hustle and bustle of the big city.
The street life, as they say.
Yeah.
So, Merle, any last words as we wrap up?
I appreciate this radio station, KHOI 89.1 FM. I love it here. I love my station manager. I love my coworkers here, Ron, Rick. I just appreciate stuff like this. This is a great discussion. If we could get more of this involved, get more of the community at large involved with discussions like this, it's not just a national level. You know, it's the grassroots. Yeah. You know, if we can keep doing stuff like this, we can solve anything. So bringing the young people in is also a very big plus, because they're ones that's going to have to hold it down when we too old to do it. So
exactly.
And Black History Month is an everyday thing for me. I don't want to lose the attention of Black History Month. It seems like it has been every year. It gets a little bit less and less. It's important that we keep this going.
That's
so
great.
I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming in, and please come in during the rest of the year, too.
And listen to Merle on the Move this Saturday at 9 to 11 p.m.
Yeah, it's a good show. Yes, it's worth listening to.
Okay. We're ending Black History Month on KHOI on a positive note by spotlighting some of the lesser talked about stories and opinions of some black residents in Ames. And we want to leave you with the thought that embracing diversity is something that will always not only benefit black people in our community, but will benefit everyone. We ultimately are one community, and everybody's strength and talents are needed to build a great community.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and today we've been talking about community from the perspective of Black History Month as it relates to residents in Ames.
Our guests have been Sonya McHaren, my cousin, Alan Stewart, my cousin's son, and Merle on the Move. Thank you for joining us.
We also heard earlier in the show from Paul Hertz. Paul provided information about the Ames Choral Society performance coming up tonight and Sunday at the Octagon Arts Center. And Nitin Gadia came and talked to us about the makerspace that he's building in downtown Ames.
Rick Morrison has been our engineer, and the music you hear has included Family Reunion by the OJs, gotta say love that song, and our theme song, Backtracking, by Al Harris and Tom Richards on their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
We also heard the Ames Choral Society perform Summer Lovin', YMCA, Waterloo, and Cabaret.
If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. You can also listen to this show and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And see listings of our past guests and resource contact information. Please go to our website and sign up for Ames Trivia Night on March 8th, a night of fun and fundraising for KHOI and NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness. Or call us here to register at 292-2878. That's 292-2878.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Oh!